Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, my name is Lauren Klim. I am an 18-year-old freshman at Syracuse University, and I am the creator of the West Hill High School Lockdown Plan. And this is Sylvia and me.
For some background, Lauren graduated from West Hill High School, one of two high schools in the New England town of Stamford, Connecticut. A city of approximately 123,000 people, the two high schools have a combination of approximately 4,000 students. Lauren, I am so happy to have you here today on our podcast. You're not only the creator of the West Hill High School Lockdown Plan, but from what I understand, and you should be very proud of yourself, it has been adapted by the whole Stamford school system, which is comprised of 10 elementary schools, two middle schools, and the two high schools that we spoke of. Before we talk about the actual plan, why don't you give some background how you, as a senior in high school, having to deal with some of the situations that one could never have imagined to be in. What gave you the idea of coming up with this plan?
Yeah, so it was the night of the Parkland shooting. I was watching the TV coverage, and this young woman, Haley Shepherd, was talking about her experience. In her class during that event, there was a substitute teacher, and understandably, the substitute didn't know exactly what to do in that situation because they're in different rooms every other hour, different things, a lot of different things going on for them. So she was talking about how a already scary situation was made a little bit more hectic because they didn't know what they were doing. So I kind of thought that was a really interesting idea because I'm in classrooms all day with different teachers, substitute teachers. What do I do if I have substitute and rooms are?
That must be something exceedingly scary for anyone in school. School we think of as, when we send our children to school, as a safe haven. So tell me how, you know, what was going through your mind as you were listening to Haley?
Yeah, I definitely was really concerned about it because I'm in school all day. I mean, I'm going to college for more years of school. So I was just kind of thinking, what could be done? Could there be something that tells you what to do? What is there in my own classrooms? And I went to school the next day and I realized that in all my classrooms, there kind of wasn't anything set. After tragedies like Parkland and Newtown, all my teachers had made sure to kind of let us know, but what happens when they weren't there, which was kind of like my main objective.
Wow. So that, yes, when your teachers aren't there, what do you do? I mean, right now, before you thought of this, were there drills? I mean, what did they tell you?
Yeah, so we had drills every once in a while, and some of the classrooms had a plan. Most of them didn't. When I was going through and actually implementing the plan, I only saw that about five or six had the actual pre-existing plan. And it was just a piece of paper. It was kind of like not common knowledge, things you already know, but it wasn't customized for each room, and each room is so different in my school. I have rooms where it's three walls of glass and then rooms where no windows. So it was really evident that something needed to be made.
So how did you go about creating? What was your first idea as far as the outline goes?
Yeah, so I was actually on my way back from a college tour and I was sitting in the car really cramped and I was just on my laptop like playing on Canva, different things I could do, like, oh, a checklist, because, you know, today's modern. I looked in like the checklist of the previous days. None of them included cell phones or like muting those and texting people your location. And I thought that was really interesting because as today's technology advances, we kind of need to keep up with that in our safety procedures. So I started looking into things like a checklist, a lockdown. I had remembered seeing in one of the schools I took the ACT in that they had an overview of the classroom. So I thought that was really cool. And I started playing around like attendance, things like that. And then I set a meeting with my principal, who is just this amazing go get it. You do what you think will be great for the school. And he was totally on board. He said, Lauren, let's do this. Make it West Hill and proud, and we'll get it done. And so that was just really awesome to have his support right off the bat with that. And then I had biweekly meetings with him about a few times a month, and we kind of figured out what we were going to do, figure out narrowing down the packet, things like that.
So what was the first thing? What did you think the most important item that you had to tackle was?
Definitely the checklist, because that was something that I could apply to every single room, wouldn't take that much time to do. And that is the component that actually is being adopted in all the public Stanford schools. So that was really important to have, because that is standard what you need to get done. If you're going to look at anything, that's going to be what you want to look at and see and get done first. And that was also like the thing that was the least amount of work for me, which was pretty nice to have it done, simple, easy. And then with that, for all the schools, I customized it for each school because, you know, school rivals, you can't have West Hill purple and gold and Stanford High, which is black and orange. So that was kind of a fun thing for me to do, to like put my spin on all these little lockdown plans. And then going back to the plan I made for West Hill, having the individual classroom layout, which was the overview of the room, and then the written procedure, because everybody learns in a different way. That was really important for me to include it, because I'm a visual learner. If I don't see it, I don't know what's going on.
That's very important. That to have even thought of that visual plan instead of just the written, that really makes it so more universal.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
So the checklist, and then you made sure that there was something for each of the classrooms for Stanford High. And then what else was involved?
Yeah, so for each individual classroom, it composed of this summer between my junior and senior year. I was in West Hill pretty much all week, every day. And between working at my job at the marina and at West Hill, I was always kind of doing something. So, but the process for the individual classrooms was just so long and so hard, but I had a great team. The office secretaries loved me. They were like, hey, Lauren, every day as I'd walk in. And the teachers were really on board. I actually sent out a Google survey for them with their ideas, and I got a lot of great feedback with that. So that kind of helped the survey even more.
What kind of questions did you ask on the survey?
Yeah, so I asked the basic questions that I needed for the layout. I asked, where's the light switch? And like, where's the door? Where is this? And one of our previous teacher, or one of my previous teachers who was an EMT, actually gave me the idea of including the reference point, which is something I hadn't thought of. Because when you're looking at it, it's easy. But when you're explaining it, it's a little harder. Like, are you in the classroom or are you out of it? So their feedback just really kind of helped with that. And then I went into every single classroom, all 180 of them, and I drew the room. I drew a square, what the room looked like, where the windows were, the light switch, the everything that was needed for the plan. And like, I included reference points taking from his idea. So I included the Promethean board and like a general arrangement of desks, noting on the plan that they could be moved around. But just having the board and like the drawers and different things like that makes the plan easier to read. And in a situation like a school shooting, you want it clear, you want it simple, you want it easy and fast. So that kind of really helped with that.
Well, the fact that this was not something that the school system had before, and you started, you know, it took you from your junior year into your senior year to do. So after you devised the checklist and the plan, it almost sounds like something that a pilot would do, you know, on a plane where they have the whole checklist and they have their co-pilot. So what was your next step in this plan?
Yeah, so the next step in the plan was to take all of my drawings and put them into Canva, the program I was using to design it. So I used an interior design software called Homestyler, and I drew out each individual room. That took a really long time. I did it on my trip to Ohio. But it was great. It was really fun. I had a lot of friends that helped. The office staff was amazing. It really had a great team effort with it. And it got done by the first week of school. I could walk down the hall and see all my plans. All the teachers know me as the lockdown girl. And it was great. And then after that, I went back into the school for my final project. And I made school, or I helped my principal and the school secretary got classroom window blinds. So on top of the school safety plan, we also now have windows that are covered, and that's just like the perfect closing to the lockdown plan, because not only do you have the plan, you have the materials needed to execute the plan.
That's great. And I'm sure that, you know, this makes so many of the students feel so much safer with, you know, with all these school shootings. So what was the, how did your fellow students welcome this?
Yeah, all my friends, every room I'd be in, they're like, Lauren, look at your plan. We had a lockdown one day and we had a substitute teacher who spoke Russian. She was for one of the language classes. And she didn't know what to do. And my friend Evie was like, Lauren, I got your plan. And I have pictures of her running around doing all my steps. And it just like all my guy friends, all my friends around the school, everyone just found it so helpful. And everyone was so supportive of me with it. And that just like made me feel great, because my plan, I thought I needed it, but my students also received it as well. And the best part of all of this was a new teacher had come to West Hill, and she didn't know who I was. She had no idea who I was, and that I was the one that made the plan. She was talking to my mom about it, about how this plan is so helpful for like new teachers like her. And my mom was like, yeah, my daughter did that. So I just thought that was so cool. And just the acknowledgement from that.
Proud mama.
Yes.
So the plan has been, from what I understand, the Stanford school system, the superintendent, they have put this plan into effect. Has it been put into just the high schools? Is it something that's going to be put into the middle schools and the elementary?
Yeah, so the plan, the component of the plan that they're putting into all the schools is the checklist, because that is something you can put easily to every single school. That's the thing that I customized, as I mentioned previously, I believe, where I put the school logo, I put the colors, I put the mascot, things that make school pride, you know, add to the room, things that hopefully won't get torn down. So I was actually asked by the chief of police last year. I was pulled out of my calculus class. My teacher was not happy about that. But I was pulled out of class and they asked my permission to use the lockdown checklist part. And that was just amazing. So that is being implemented, I believe, this year, next year. And they're just printing them out, laminating them, and putting them in the schools, which is pretty great.
So they had to ask your permission to use it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was like, go for it, dude. I have my name at the bottom by Lauren Klim. So I will be forever in the Stanford Public School District.
That is an accomplishment that is absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
And you've also reaped some benefits from this by some scholarships that you've
done. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is really helpful for me. I wrote my college essay about my experience, and like, this really just taught me so much. You don't have to be an adult to start making change, which is something that I find so happy. And like, I want to start making more change and doing things like that. But I've received an amazing amount of praise, and I was named a young woman of leadership. I got a letter from the president giving me congratulations on my accomplishments and saying that America needs leaders and things like that, like you, which I thought was great. I've gotten certifications from senators and different people like that. It's just been great. The attorney general sent me a certificate. So just hearing that response from people in positions of power and seeing that they're encouraging young women to maybe the change you want to see in the world is just something amazing, and I'm so grateful for.
Well, something you just said resonates. You don't have to be an adult to make change.
Yes.
And that is absolutely for sure. And you have proved that a young lady, soon to be a young woman, who saw a need for something in the midst of all of this chaos that we have and went and created something that has been adopted first by the Stanford school system, and then you never know who else. Right now, you're looking after the Stanford school system. You were looking after your own high school and your fellow students in that school, which then helps the, you know, all the students within Stanford, and hopefully, you know, within Connecticut, it's a start.
Yeah, definitely. It starts that conversation, and it shows other students that if they have an idea, they are more than welcome to get it done and actually accomplish that.
So what else do you have on your plate? I mean, going to, you know, being a freshman, going off to Syracuse, what else are you thinking of in your, you know, in that forever moving brain of yours that you would love to see change, that a project coming down the pipe for you?
Oh, I don't know. Definitely on the school safety spectrum, something like that. It's something I'm so passionate about. Just kind of helping people out, definitely down the line, way down the line. I would love to do the Peace Corps and kind of get a hands-on, in-the-field view of other people's lives and be that change for them. But just making a change and helping others is something that I find so important. And I think that that needs to be more celebrated, because in the news nowadays, you hear about the bad, you hear what's wrong with the world. But I think when you start celebrating what's right, what are people doing to change the world? What are people doing to help their fellow neighbor out? And so definitely raising awareness with that, being creative, doing different things like that, just really helping the world in a way. And even if you're not helping the entire world, if you make one person's day, I saw this quote, you're helping their world. And I think that's so amazing.
That definitely is. And you have to have a lot of spunk. You have to have a lot of perseverance. You have to have a lot of courage to take what you believe, what you see. And, you know, the whole thing is you see something, you say something. Well, you are not just saying something, you're doing something, which, you know, a lot of people just don't. They have these ideas, they have these dreams, and they don't move forward with it.
Yeah.
But you are someone who is, as I said before, independent, but you're also creative.
Yeah, I think a lot of my independence and my confidence comes from my teachers and my administration, the people I've surrounded myself with. My calculus teacher said, if you want something done, stop whining about it, go do it. And that was kind of what spurred me to actually get this done. And then, like, my principal being on board, it's all about the people you surround yourself with and who want to be there for your ride, but also want to help you succeed. So I think that is just amazing. It helps so much with this project. I couldn't have done it without our secretaries, our principal, our teachers, our custodians, everybody who let me follow them around like a little duckling for weeks on end. And that was just so helpful.
Well, it takes a community. You know, anyone who thinks that they could do these things on their own and not want to hear what others have to say, well, that's being very foolish. And you, again, for somebody your age to actually do what a lot of adults just, they put up a wall. They don't want to hear anything. They think everything they're doing is correct. And you have an open mind. You have an idea, and you talk to people about it, and then you put your foot forward, and you listen to others. You had, and here, again, it shows what good teachers, good leaders are all about.
Yeah, all about the community and who helps you and being there for each other, definitely.
And I'm sure, you know, knowing your family, that they were behind you 150%. And
yes.
from what I understand, when you were first listening to this newscast about, you know, the Parkland shooting and the substitute teacher, you said something about, well, we don't have one, you know, anything like any plan in our school. And your mom turned to you and said, well, then,
yeah,
get one.
Do it yourself, Lauren. Come on. Get the ball rolling. No, definitely. My family was so amazing with this. From nights where I was stressed out that I'm never going to get this done, what did I get myself into? I told all these people I was doing this and this isn't happening. they calmed me down. They said, Lauren, stop freaking out. You're doing this, you're doing it fine. And they helped me from cutting out the lamination sheets to helping me read what I wrote on that paper, because my handwriting is terrible. But just being there for me, and along with my teachers, everyone was able to help out. My friends, they came over, they helped me cut things, they helped me put the plans in the rooms, talk to teachers. I could not have done any of this without my team and my support, which was just so helpful.
So what's next on your list? Do you have any idea of what you want to major in? Do you have something, you know, a project, or are you just going to settle in and see where life takes you?
Yeah, so I definitely, right now I'm Syracuse with the Whitman School of Management undeclared. I picked Syracuse because it was a school that scared me the most.
And good for you.
I think that's really important. A lot of the schools I looked at, I felt comfortable. If you're comfortable, you're not doing anything. You're not moving forward. You got to keep swimming. So Syracuse's business program's amazing. I'm so excited. I'm in Waverly House. It's like Hogwarts. They were sorted. It was weird, but it was cool. And just being in a place where there's entrepreneurship classes, there's management classes. I'm not sure what I want to do yet, but I know that I want to make a difference, and Syracuse is just going to give me those opportunities. So I'm really excited for that. I feel that Syracuse is a great place for me to start making bigger change and better change and help more people out. So I'm very excited.
Well, that's great. And I, as far as an entrepreneur, I understand you have an Etsy account.
Yes.
Excuse me, but you sell custom college fans? What is a custom college fan?
So it started out as a gift for my roommate, and I posted it on my Instagram. What it is plain white fans that I paint and I draw on and I customize them for your college. So it'll have your mascot, different things like that. It's on my Etsy account, Clem Creations. But I posted it for my roommate. It was just supposed to be a one-time thing for her. Like, hey, I'm your roommate. I'm cool. I'm not crazy. Please like me. And it just exploded. All my friends were like, hey, can you make me one? Please make me one so I can like show off my school spirit. And it's been great. Everyone loves them. And it's kind of like a fun way for me to express my entrepreneurship, but also kind of a project, like a passion project, you know, like the lockdown plan was fun. It was cool. It was helping others. But this is kind of like a project for myself. It's a way for me to be creative because I didn't really have time for art classes in my high school career. So for me to be able to take the time and draw on these vans, which is so much harder than I thought it was, by the way, because writing on shoes is impossible, especially with acrylic paint. But it's just so fun. And like I made myself a pair and I wear them out all the time. And people always stop and they're like, where'd you get those? And I'm like, I made it. That was me. So that's just been really fun too. And you know, it's all about kind of expressing yourself, and I love them. It's a passion project for me.
Well, that's great. And I just realized what you meant by custom vans. I'm telling you. Okay, I got it. Lauren, thank you so much. I don't think this is the last we're going to hear from you. And I am going to bring you back to do more podcasts as you get further along into your next chapter of Syracuse. So thank you so much. And you are a model to so many teenagers and young people who don't think that they can make a difference.
Yeah.
But you have, and you will continue to. Lauren, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Sylvia.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking with another extraordinary woman. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course, our website, lifeapray.com. Listen, subscribe for free, and take us with you wherever you are. This has been a Life of Prey production.